Okay, welcome back. And I can think of no one I'd rather have with us on the day after than David Icke. And in fact, David is here. He is on live and direct from the UK, where it's the middle of the night there. His newest book, of course, his most current book, others are on the way, Tales from the Time Loop, the most comprehensive book yet written about the global conspiracy that emerges more clearly every day. And it probably took on new dimensions of clarity for many of you as you watch that absurdity, which was foisted off on the American public and the world yesterday. Let's see how David is doing there at 4 a.m. How are you, my friend?
All right, Jeff. It's always a pleasure to talk to the land of freedom and beacon,
yes.
The beacon of democracy in the world.
Yes.
It's unbelievable. Apparently, yeah. the beacon used to be turned on by a guy who had to sign for it in triplicate, but now he just presses the screen, you know, no paper trail necessary. It's
yes,
unbelievable.
Indeed.
I mean, you use the word... there, I think, absurdity, Jeff, and outside of the United States, vast numbers of people look in with a mixture of disgust, but also incredulity, because how vast numbers of people in the United States, not the majority necessarily, but vast numbers believe that they live in a land of freedom and democracy is just beyond belief. I mean, it's a sick joke, really.
Well, that disgust and incredulity is certainly in no short supply on this side of the Atlantic.
I'm sure it's not.
I assure you. There was talk today of actually splitting the country into two countries by some Democrats on a talk show. That's how outraged people feel here. But as I've tried to make clear, and you just did allude to it, and I'm glad you did. By the way, the idea of the man pushing the screen to light things up after filling out the triplicate form, the beacon, well, when he pushed the screen, he pushed the on button, but of course it showed up as off. Because,
yeah.
You know how many people have written to me today and said they pushed their electronic vote screens and they voted Democrat and they pushed it at the end to review everything and it came up solid Republican.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have this this filter, which I call take a deep breath, take a step back, look at it again, because we get caught in this daily mass of information and things happening. But when you take a deep breath and you just look at this whole voting thing, you press a screen and electronically it is supposed to be recorded. You don't really know how it's been recorded, and there's no paper trail, as they call it, to confirm how you've recorded it. I just feel, you know, I'm not being that intelligent, but I just feel there is the capacity there for voting fraud.
Yes.
Fixing an election. I just feel that in my water, you know.
Well, it's amazing. Your intuition, isn't it?
Isn't it? It is extraordinary how this is why, from the perspective of Europe, it is looked upon with total incredulity that it can happen. I mean, in Britain, I mean, it has many, many faults. Indeed, much of the manipulation of the world comes out of here through America. But when we have an election here, you have to put a cross next to a candidate on a piece of paper. They're then gathered together and they're counted in front of the candidates and members of all parties by people in an open forum with cameras there. Blair wants to bring in electronic voting, of course, which he would, so those that control and can fix future elections. But
right.
At least at the moment, we have some kind of confidence that at least most of the votes are counted, and there is some kind of reflection of how the people have felt about the various options. But the American system, which of course they want to make it all electronic eventually, is just so ludicrous that any election is just not worth taking seriously.
No,
because whoever they want in, they put in, as we've seen at the last election and now this one. And it has this ongoing effect, not just for people in America, though that's direct, but for the rest of the world, as a result of what's happened in the last 24 hours
in
America.
Large
numbers of people who had nothing to do with America and know nothing about it are going to suffer the consequences.
Oh, yes. We're setting up a template for thugs and despots around the world to follow, and we're getting away with it. I mean the alleged neocon administration here. By the way, just to recap for you who may have missed it, 90% of the vote was counted by three private corporations in America, ES&S, Sequoia, and Diebold, or Diebold as I like to call them. Sequoia, by the way, is a UK-owned company. The head of Diebold, as we all know by now, said in public unequivocally that he would do everything in his power to guarantee the re-election of President Bush. And guess who got the contract to print all the new Iraqi currency? Sequoia, the UK-owned company that counts so many votes over here in America. Now, here's a statement, David, that you may have heard, you may have not. Dr. David L. Dill, professor of computer sciences at Stanford, said in reference to these electronic voting systems, "Why am I always being asked to prove these systems aren't secure? The burden of proof ought to be on the vendor. You ask about the hardware, secret. You ask them about their software, sorry, secret. You ask about the cryptography, sorry, can't tell you because that'll compromise the secrecy of the machines. What about federal testing procedures? Sorry, secret. Results of the tests? Secret." Basically, we are required to have blind faith as Americans that these systems will work. And, of course, as you all know listening, David and I have been talking about it for years, it's a bloody joke.
It is a joke, but this whole thing about blind faith and trust me, is now becoming fundamental to the way the world is run. We went to war in Iraq on the basis of we have intelligence, but we can't reveal it because it will affect the safety of our agents and our sources. But just trust us because it's there. And the very people that sold us the war on a false premise are the very people that have been behind this farce of an election. But we've reached the point now where the polarization of society is more profound than it's ever been for a clear reason. There is a section of this of America, not just American society, British society, and every society that has begun seriously to suss this because it's now so blatant. And then there's another, unfortunately, depressingly large section of society that basically is childlike. That comes from a perspective in which they don't think, they don't reason, they just react from an emotional point of view, not least in America, from the fact that they're still living in the world of John Wayne. And so we have this polarization of those that have seen what's going on and those that are still in a dream world. And it's got great potential for upheaval in society, because no doubt when you go through the last 4 years and then you go through the farce of last night, which has given the same people another 4 years, the frustration among those in America who have seen it and can understand what's going on must be absolutely enormous today.
I don't know how they're actually going to. Now, these are intellectually alive and inquiring people for the most part. I don't know how they're going to stay connected to the process. They've weathered somehow 4 years of the most outrageous incompetence, theft, crime, corruption, murder, betrayal of our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, our rights and liberties. They weathered that. They get to the election, and they are dragged through this horrible sideshow, this tawdry melodrama. And you're very right, David. American society now, and this is going to become perhaps the norm in other societies, unfortunately, we have the dumbed-down government school educated, reactive side, and then we have the ever-shrinking, proactive, intellectually astute and alert and observant side, which is going to say, what the hell am I even playing this game for anymore? It's fixed. It's all fixed.
I think that what we're going to have to see if we really want to challenge this is we need those numbers of people, and clearly they are highly significant in terms of numbers, who have realized what's going on and, as you say, realize the whole system is rigged, to actually get together and start a process of non-cooperation. Not to fight the system, but to cease to cooperate with it. And one expression of this could be for young people in vast numbers, if this draft thing is proposed, to cooperate.
That's
you know, if a few don't cooperate, then they're going to be targeted and they're going to be isolated. We need to do it on a vast scale, because as they used to say in the 60s, what if they had a war and no one turned up? Because by taking part and being part of the system, we are giving ourselves to it. We don't have to. We can refuse to.
Exactly. Stand by, David. We'll break. Come right back. David Icke on the phone live from England as we survey, I guess I'll just call it the aftermath. Back in a minute. David Icke, our friend and colleague of many years. He's in England and watching and commenting and analyzing from afar. The outrage over here is palpable. It's enormous. And it will not go away quietly and soon. This is a big issue. Maybe you saw the CNN, the monopoly press, the propaganda mills, the spin they put on this, and they've been spinning this and playing it from the beginning, of course. The headline on CNN, America has spoken.
Well, I loved it when Bush was saying in his, I think it's acceptance speech, that the nation has spoken. Well, clearly the nation hasn't spoken. Half the nation has spoken, and they're probably being optimistic. But that's the way they do it. I mean, in Britain, Tony Blair's been elected by a minority of the vote, and he says the nation has spoken. Well, the nation hasn't. A fraction of the nation has spoken. But this is the way these people operate. And I think that what we're going to see, Jeff, and we've already seen it, of course, since 9/11, is efforts to suppress dissent being further expanded, because this frustration, this despair, this anger that Americans who've sussed it must be feeling, is going to express itself in various ways, and they want to suppress that. And it's interesting that the methods they use are a mirror of the methods of the Nazis. They have to suppress dissent because the government can only keep the lid on the lie for so long. If people are allowed, free right. access to communicate their views. So suppression of dissent is going to definitely be expanded as a result of all this in the next 4 years. And that's another point. This guy doesn't have to win another election now. The neocons and what have you, they don't have to get him in again. So no. Basically, he can do what he likes because are no electoral consequences for him personally.
He's got a free ride. He's a so-called lame duck. But, you know, the truth is he hasn't won one yet. And He's going
exactly.
For...
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. I'm not saying this will happen, but it wouldn't surprise me if something happened to Bush actually, and Cheney came in, because he is a front man, not very bright, but I know people who had dealings with him personally when he was governor of Texas, and this is an arrogant and very very unpleasant piece of work, George Bush, and he is a man who has been put in there to be a vehicle to make things happen rather than being the actual point of power.
And I agree, and they are.
Cheney's the real man. Another brutal piece of work, who is the real power behind the scenes in the White House.
I think that's probably why, and I'll go on a limb here and suggest that no president has probably gotten as much or as thorough protection as has George W. Bush. They want to keep him healthy and out there. He's the perfect front man for them. Perfect.
Well, the thing is that he has managed to survive in office, even though he is clearly a man of extremely limited intellect. And, well, I'm kind of, I can't find the words to describe how limited that is.
But all you had to do is watch the debate, and you saw it.
Exactly, and he's a man who does one thing, yet among large numbers of Americans gets credit for doing the other. For instance, he's a man who has led to tens of thousands of Iraqi civilians being killed, over 1,000 American troops. He's a guy who... supposed to be courageous and all that stuff, and he's sending people to war while spending his whole life ensuring that he never sees a bullet fired in anger himself. All these contradictions between what he actually is and what he is perceived as, despite all the violence and the horror and the slaughter that he's been involved in, he is perceived by many to be is necessary to be president because he's the one that will protect America. And like I say, you know, the people that are behind Bush in terms of voting support are people that simply are childlike.
Well, I agree. And if I might, let me say one thing. We had a break here, but I made this point numerous times during the alleged campaign season. If you hear on the radio, and I didn't watch them, but I just listened to the sound of the crowds at the Bush rallies, David, it was scary.
Mm-hmm.
That I have never heard that kind of chanting, that kind of mass psychosis, mob psychology. You know, it was more animalistic than even the old films and recordings from Nazi Germany. It was damned scary.
Yeah, well, maybe we could talk about the animalistic part of it, because there is an aspect of that.
Right, okay.
That I'd like to mention.
Yeah, let's do that. We're with David Icke, his book, Tales from the Time Loop, his current book out there, and it is the most comprehensive expose of the global conspiracy written to date, and pretty much all you need to know to be truly free. And we would urge all of you who have gotten a wake-up call and seen the light, and you know now that it's not as it's being told to us, and our three or four anchor men and anchor women are not telling us the truth. You need to do now a little bit of reading. You need to read a couple of books. Put Tales of the Time Loop at the top of your list. Grab it. Read it. Pass it around. These are going to be tumultuous times and difficult times, too, especially for family and friends who either see or don't see. And there's a big gap. There's a wide gulf between the two positions. So help those who are interested. Do not bother to spend time on those who don't want to know. There is work to be done. Back in just a minute with David Icke. Okay, back to David Icke, live from England. David, you were starting out to say something. I've got so many things on my desk here. What was it? Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. It was about, you mentioned the animalistic nature of what you were observing at these various rallies.
Let me say one other thing about that. As do you, you're a great listener. And that's what we need to try to rediscover, I think, those of us over there and over here who want to make a difference. We have to learn to listen. And when we listen carefully and quiet the noise, we begin to hear things. I heard an animalism in that crowd hysteria on more than a few occasions that really worried me. It told me there would be no trouble at all to man concentration camps here in America, no trouble at all to kill on orders anyone, anywhere on the planet. About 40, and I've forgotten the number, over 40% of Americans identify themselves, David, as Christians, born again, whatever kind of Christians, and there are a dozen kinds. They, as a group, are generally disposed toward lining up to get chipped, lining up to support this president, come hell or high water, to exterminate the infidels and the heathens, to clear the world of the riffraff. This is what we're dealing with here is an animalism that harkens back to the Crusades.
Yeah, and I think I can explain that, because this animalism that you talk about among some people in America, you will mirror with people in other countries who oppose America. And it all comes down to, I would suggest, the reptilian brain. You know, I've been talking about the reptilian aspect of this for a long time, but for people who don't realize, we have an ancient part of the brain, which is known by science as the R-complex, the reptilian brain. And when you understand how that works, you can appreciate what's actually going on here. The forces that are behind this manipulation are seeking to connect with us and manipulate us through this reptilian part of the brain. I remember Kweta Mutwa, a Zulu shaman in Africa, saying to me years ago, if you want to understand the Illuminati, study the behavior of the reptile. And if you want to understand many, many Bush supporters of the kind you talk about, Jeff, then we need to also look at the behavior of the reptile. The whole foundation of the reptilian brain is based on survival. Its whole psyche is survival, fear of not surviving. And what this war on terror is manipulating that reptilian brain's fear and obsession with survival. You can, using these methods and these techniques and this knowledge, you can get people to vote for an idiot who has the most grotesque record on so many fronts, because he is perceived in simplistic one-liners and image manipulation to be the man who is most likely to protect these people from harm, therefore protect their survival. And interestingly, the reptilian brain does not react so much to words. It reacts to images, and so when you look at the presentation of political speeches, etc., in these election campaigns, it's not about verbal substance. The reptilian brain doesn't relate to that. It's about imagery. It's about selling a picture, an image, which you then take on and react to, and that's another point. The reptilian brain does not act with reason. It reacts with emotional stimuli. Kweta Mutwa said to me, study the behavior of the reptile if you want to understand how these people work and everything. I did, and I went to reptile farms in Australia and other places, and I watched demonstrations of the reptilian behavior. And you would have a guy in the area with the crocodile, for instance, and he would say to the crowd, look, these crocodiles do not think, they do not reason, they react, and whatever I do, I know how this crocodile is going to react. And it said, look, it's early morning, it's not very warm, there's not a lot of sun, so this crocodile doesn't have a lot of energy. But if I go to the back of this pond and I put this stick in the water and shake it about, even though it's going to be a massive effort, it is going to have no choice but to react and come and investigate, because that's the way these people, the reptilian brain works. It just reacts rather than reasons. Mm-hmm. And he did it, and exactly what he said mm-hmm. would happen happened, mm-hmm. and it happened every time. Mm-hmm. So what they're doing is they're manipulating this reptilian part of the brain, which is about emotional reaction. And what else do we get? Interestingly, you mentioned about the Nazi and the concentration camps there, Jeff. What else do we get from the reptilian brain? We get the cold-blooded behavior, where we can do things without any empathy with the consequences for others of our actions. So what they're doing is manipulating people through this reptilian brain. Now, when you access other parts of the brain, other parts of the computer, they balance out the reptilian part, and then you start to reason as well as react. And so what we've got on that level in America are those that are coming almost entirely from the reptilian brain, and those who are coming from a much more balanced reason of things that are going on, mm-hmm. and therefore mm-hmm. don't just react, but look at it and see through it. And mm-hmm. this is the polarity that's happening now. And what these politicians are doing, but it's Cheney. I was reading a thing on the internet only the other day, which was analyzing a Cheney speech in relation to the reptilian brain, and how his whole speech was designed to trigger and get that part of the brain to react. So that's what's going on, and that's where the animalistic stuff comes from.
I summed up perfectly. I'm sure many of you out there heard the same thing I'm talking about, and David has just described so well. It has to do with the reactive portion of this society that has been catered to, groomed, programmed, if you will. And I would suspect, David, that, and this may sound like a stretch to some of you, but I think if you study the research, you'll know that electromagnetics have been clearly looked upon as massively important weapons in total mind control and manipulation for probably half a century now. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if there weren't some kind of subliminal electromagnetic energies being broadcast to crowds. We certainly know they're capable of being enfolded and embedded into television and film audio that appeal to just that portion of the brain, and maybe even other portions of the brain that they seek to groom and to nurture to their own betterment.
I would say that was 100% true. You know, one of the great ways that people are kept in the dark about what's actually going on is that, and what's possible, is that technology outside the public arena, that which we're not aware of, is light years ahead
yep.
of anything we see.
Yep.
And if we don't know that exists, we are not aware of how yep. that technology could be used to manipulate.
We're talking about...
I think you're spot on.
That's right. We've got... Thank you. We're going to take a break, but we're talking about something the size of a small suitcase set up at a crowd, a rally. Something enfolded into an audio track on a film, a television program, whatever. Remember, there's no regulation whatsoever in the business, in the industry, in terms of enfolding and embedding electromagnetic signature frequencies. None. Back in a minute. Okay, welcome back, Andy. We're splitting America pretty much into two relatively equal portions, the informed and those who are now dumbed down and brain impaired, or as you were. Well, I don't know. I want to. It's not all that way. You know what I'm talking about. What it is, David, in a way, they are generating and creating mass psychopathic or mass psychopathy at a level that can be easily manipulated. And when we closed out that last segment, we just touched upon the electronic manipulation of the human mind emotions and nervous system. And believe me, what David said about it being light years ahead of what you might imagine is absolutely true. We've traced the experiments going back to the 1940s on these things, and they are embedding and folding information into the audio and visual images that you're seeing and hearing on your TV. David, you've watched TV. I pulled the plug on my television 16 years ago. I don't have it. I won't have it in the house. But whenever I go somewhere, and I know you're probably the same way, and many of our listeners are, you go into a room or a business or whatever, there's a television on, and you glance up at it. Several minutes later, you're still glancing at it. I mean, there's something there that is not just, you can't casually observe television like you used to be able to anymore. Now, maybe it has to do with the audio and video amphetamine-like quality that the images and the sound have. It's so quick, boom, 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 boom. But I think there's more to it than that. It's probably a composite image. But this medium of television is, without question to me, the most powerful weapon ever unleashed on humankind.
Yeah, and I have to say, we mentioned at the start about how people perceive America from outside. The perception of the American media is another aspect of American life now, which just has people in Europe with their mouths open. When you look, I remember the first time I saw Fox News. I call it Fix News. I think they've misspelt it, but. Whenever I see Fox News, particularly, but the other ones too, it is unbelievable. The bias. If that happened in Britain, and it's getting worse in Britain too, but if that happened in Britain, and people would be sacked because the public simply wouldn't have it. They are feeding, like a hypnotist, they are feeding messages all the time, even conscious messages that are pushing you in a certain direction. Right. But the subliminal messages that we don't here with the conscious mind, but the subconscious takes in and absorbs, and they then affect our sense of reality, are also enormous, because the brain is a computer, a fantastic computer, and it's decoding signals and messages all the time. I mean, the five senses, we don't taste with our tongue. We taste with our brain. We don't see with our eyes. We see with our brain. It's decoding messages and turning them into various realities. So all they have to do with their technologies is to access the brain so it decodes their messages in the way that it decodes the senses. And that's what they're doing. And the key here is consciousness. You know, in the Matrix movie, they had the woman in the red dress who was appeared to be like everyone else but wasn't. She was a computer program. Well, once you get down to the level of the reptilian brain, you are dealing with people, Jeff, who are little more than computer programs, who are open to whatever software is put in the right way at the right time. And it is consciousness which overrides the computer. If you take the body and the brain to be a horse and consciousness to be a rider, what's happening in these people we're talking about tonight is the horse is or the rider is being ridden by the horse. Computer level of them is simply robot-like, dictating reaction and behavior, and it's consciousness that comes in and overrides and then takes over the computer, that starts to ride the horse, if you like, that brings in reason and overrides the programming. But if you don't use consciousness, if you are stuck at a brain level of reaction, then you are simply a computer that is open to be programmed in whatever way is desired. And these guys behind all this, not George Bush, crikey, but the people really behind this understand this whole process, and they are literally programming the computer brains of these people so that they react in the right way. And going on to from the animalistic part of it you talked about, I mean, if you program a computer to react in a certain way because you put the data in, say symbolically you program it to abuse children or do something horrific in a war, the computer won't say, well, hold on a minute, that doesn't sound very good to me. No, the computer will just react and do whatever the programmer tells it to do. There is no reason. And that's the level to which vast numbers of people in America and other parts of the world have now fallen. They're not more than robots.
I was sitting, I had to wait for my my automobile the other day for almost 2 hours, and I they had a little waiting room, and they had a TV in there. And I went and sat down, and I got through three channels, and I wondered at some point if someone was going to come in and say something to me, because I, literally without my ability to think about it, I was saying things back at the screen. I couldn't repeat them here. I was so disgusted at CNN News, at CNN Headline News, what I was seeing on there, these liars, these pretty-faced whores spewing this propaganda, this trickery, this deception, and I was just involved. I don't see it, and I was involuntarily saying things I would not say in mixed company out loud, and I would catch myself and say, my goodness, I better shut up. They're going to come over here or call the cops on me. I mean, it was that disgusting. I was staggered at what I was seeing.
Well, yeah, I mean, I when I first saw Fox News, I thought it was a spoof. I really did. I thought this cannot be real.
Right.
But because I mean, it's just staggering. But
true.
This is another point. You know, looking at America from the other side of the Atlantic, is our television is appalling. But when you look at American television, it is beyond words, and not least because the news values, for want of a phrase, that they have in America basically disconnect Americans from what's happening around the world. And there's a CNN for America, and there's a CNN for the rest of the world. And the CNN we get, although of course it's biased in the same way, covers foreign news, because it has to. And over here, the BBC, which again, you know, I used to work for, it's an organization that also manipulates. But you watch a BBC news bulletin, there'll be many items every night about things happening around the world that are not necessarily connected in any way to British interests. But when you look at American news, it is either all about America, the myopia of only America exists, and when foreign news is mentioned, invariably it is because there is in some way an American interest, or it affects American interests in some form. And so Americans who get their information, again for want of a word, through the television networks, which the vast majority do, are actually being given a completely false view of the world and reality. I mean, when I watch CNN in America, you would think that only about one, two, maybe three things are happening in America in any day.
Exactly.
Because, you know, you go from one program, and it's all about this one item or these two or three items, and they're usually diversionary, irrelevant rubbish. Then they'll go to the next program, oh, Wolf Blitzer, oh, goodness me, he'll learn to be a television presenter one day, but when he comes on, and then they cover the same one, two, or three stories again, and it goes on all day. It's keeping Americans in a myopic state where they're focusing on the twigs so they don't see the trees, let alone the forest, and that's the idea, of course. And this whole American election, it's laughable from this perspective over here, because it's been an election that has been contested in one-liners. With no substance whatsoever.
That's exactly right. It's a one-liner election. Perfect.
Because they want the reptilian brain, which does not react and respond to verbal substance. It responds to emotional stimuli. And that's why we have no verbal substance, is because they're after the reptilian brain, and that doesn't work with that.
Well, your point, David, was absolutely 1,000% on the money. The public is afraid. It wants to be protected. And it perceives Bush in that reptilian sense as a John Wayne kind of a guy that can go out and kick some ass. That's exactly what it sees. And it reacts.
What's even better about the John Wayne analogy is John Wayne, as I understand it, never saw a bullet fired in anger either.
Correct.
It's all image.
Correct.
And the people buy the image, they will buy the consequences. the consequences of the next 4 years as a result of last night are going to be extremely challenging.
By the way, I mentioned I watched three channels for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
The third channel I watched, I don't know if you get it over there, but you've certainly seen it over here, was MTV.
Yeah.
And it struck a chord, and I couldn't figure out the linkage. Why am I watching CNN Headline News, and then MTV? Well, it just coincidentally worked out that CNN, when it was slipping in the ratings 3, 4, 5 years ago, hired as consultants to come in and overhaul their entire news presentation. MTV executive consultants and analysts.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah, again, and it's not about substance. It's about
style.
Getting people to watch the program.
All and, style.
Not done with verbal substance, but other means.
Well, in fact, there is, and we'll talk about this when we come back, there is an anti-intellectual ethos like a malignancy that is working its way through our culture at an ever younger age, I might add. And that is very, very much of a concern to me. We'll be back in just a couple minutes with David Icke, live from England. Back, Jeff Rentz with David Icke on The Day After. And David's book, Tales from the Time Loop, is already a classic. It is a must-read for any of you who have realized now that we've been conned and conned and conned again. David, as I mentioned, this anti-intellectualism really bothers me. I tuned into MTV. Now, I have nothing against music, but what I saw on there was not music. I didn't watch it continue. I kept switching back. Over the period of 2 hours, there were 4 half-hour episodes of a series called, let's see, Real Life. Pretty sure it's called Real Life, and some of you listening probably know about it. Real World? Well, whatever it is, Real World. Anyway, it had to do with 7 self-indulgent, listless, wayward, troubled, and yet having a good time, young people living in a luxurious super pad in a converted historic building in Philadelphia. Anyway, every stereotypical image of the black couple was there, the two white couple, then the homosexual was there, but they were pushing agenda after agenda after agenda. Anyway, just part a little tiny piece of the pastiche that is this whole approach. Hell, it's an assault on the minds of our young. And when an intellect, David, and you know this better than anyone, when an intellect is stillborn or stultified into submission, to try to reinvigorate, to reanimate that intellect, to regrow it, to reassert it, is almost impossible in this society because of the diversions, because of the reactive way that we are being taught to behave. And I lament that. I view us as losing now a second full generation to this anti-intellectualism, as I refer to it.
Yeah, I would call it anti-consciousnessism. A bit of a mouthful, but that's what I would say. Because,
fine.
Everything is conscious, but not everything is at the same level of awareness. And the more conscious you are, the more you see through the game, the more you don't react, but you reason. And so the whole of society is structured to suppress consciousness, as I will call it, and get people coming from the level of the computer. Now, the brain, the five senses are the access codes, or massive access codes, to the computer. And so, first of all, you have the whole of society based on enticing and captivating the five senses to hold people in this, if you like, physical level of awareness and reality, the computer brain level of reality, and also through the five senses accessing the computer. So they access it through sight, through the television, for instance. They access it through the ears, through words, but also through music and other stimulus. They access it through taste with all these chemicals and additives and stuff, aspartame and MSG and all this rubbish that they access through that means. Because
right.
on one level, we talk about the chemistry of the brain. Now, what they're doing by introducing these chemicals through food, through drink, through vaccination, is that they are scrambling the chemical balance of the brain. If you look at society, it's all about either accessing the brain, the computer, or scrambling it, messing it up so that it does not operate in, it's like a computer virus. Now, if you're trying to program a computer with information, with reason, and there's a computer virus, it's not working right, but you're not going to be able to get across to the computer what you want to say or what you want it to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're doing with the brain. They're trying to stop it being a vehicle for consciousness to manifest in this reality and simply to become a reactive computer that reacts to their stimuli. And that's what's going on. And that's why you are seeing so many people operating at the level of computer-like behavior rather than consciousness. It's all and all planned and all coldly calculated.
By the way, Dr. Patrick Flanagan, frequent guest on the program, be back again soon. Brilliant man. Explained in great detail how he and a friend, I think the guy was a physicist, were able to determine that there is a certain recognizable cadence. It's some kind of a rhythmic code. It has a name, a word. I don't know what it is. I've forgotten. It's a cycle. And that was detected, David, in the electronic power grid in every home, every location that was tested. And every house, of course, is surrounded with 110-volt wires throughout the walls. It's an electronic cage. Those wires, because the grid was charged with whatever this hypnotic, resonating sequential series of cycles per second was radiating everyone in the house with this. And that could be some kind of a carrier wave for doing almost anything. I mean, this goes so far, but let me draw it all the way back now to the campaign. George Bush was portrayed very carefully. Now, anyone watching the debates would never vote for the guy, you know, in a million years. I mean, they'd run. But he was carefully portrayed time and time again as a simple and accessible guy, a guy you might have as a neighbor down the street, a real American, a blue-collar guy who could come by and sit down and share a couple of beers and watch some football with you. And yet he's this powerful protector figure, which you've talked about with this reactive reptilian brain thing that they know about. Six-pack America. Football America, drugged America, drugged with foods, drugged with natural flavors, MSG, aspartame, drugged with pharmaceuticals. They relate to that man far more than an intellectually substantive person like John Kerry.
Yeah, and again, we'll come back to the same thing. You know, if you have someone who is articulate and articulating at length about substance, the reptilian brain doesn't want
to
know.
They want nothing to do with it. No, they want to go.
So that's what they're doing. And it's interesting, you know, you mentioned about the technology sending out these pulses, Jeff, because I have a personal example of that. In the town where I live, there is a thing called a Tetramaster just been put up. Now, how this came about was that the government, for some reason, just decided to sell the technology that police were using to communicate with each other. And therefore, they had to replace it with something. So they replaced it with this Tetra system. And what happens is it's a mast in the center of this town. And I've got a friend who's an expert on these things. And he points out that what it's pulsing out, on the face of it to help communication between police officers, is a pulse that is precisely the frequency on which the human brain operates.
Oh.
Now, what have I found out today? If you take the Tetra system back to its origin, it came out of the National Security Agency in America.
Ah, well.
Who gave the technology to, I think it was Motorola, no one in this chain, right down to the local police here who use it, is allowed to know anything about the technology because it is a commercial secret. And no doubt whatsoever. I mean, you know, my wife Pam has had some technology in the last few days that measures these pulses and these microwave broadcasts. And in parts of this town, it's just absolutely off the dial because of this mast. Now, of course, we are vibrating fields, what we call bodies, holograms.
Right.
And if you have a vibrational field that is disruptive to that, it's going to cause illness. This is why these things manifest as cancers and stuff. And also, I would suggest, and I've just finished a book that includes this, I would suggest what we call emotion. Of the reactive emotion type is actually part of the DNA. I don't think it's consciousness as we accept consciousness at all. And so therefore, these mass broadcasts also, one of the consequences for them that is often reported is it makes people feel depressed because it's affecting them on this emotional holographic body level. And of course, in terms of the brain frequency, it's going to affect the way the computer works, which is just another way that they are attacking that to stop it being able to be a vehicle for reason.
And they are stopping it ever younger. And I've said this for years and years to all of you folks out there. The first day you put your child in front of commercial television to use that TV as a babysitter or a diversion or whatever, that is the day that your child begins to be reprogrammed and taken away from you. I kid you not. We'll be back in just a minute. Okay, back with David Icke, who is up bravely in the middle of the night to share his mind and brilliant intellect with all of us and his analysis of what happened and what didn't happen yesterday. There's I get a lot of great commentaries and editorials and articles submitted. This one is very good, David. If I might just read a couple paragraphs, I think it touches upon a lot of this that we've been talking about. It's called Democracy Fails, Corporations Win, by Peter Phillips, Ph.D. Democracy in the United States is only a shadow in a corporate media cave of deceit, lies, and incomplete information. We stand ignorant of what the powerful are doing in our name and how the corporate media ignores key issues affecting all of us. A young professional couple from San Diego stated the weekend before the election, We don't think voting will make any difference, so why bother? Over 80 million eligible voters joined them by refusing to participate in the most recent election. Well, having been a voter for 35 years, I can't fault them for their logic. November 2nd gave us a choice between war and more war, corporate globalization and more corporate globalization, the continuation of gifting billions of dollars to Israel, the Patriot Act, and an expanded Patriot Act, a police state, and a seriously growing police state, media monopoly, and even bigger media monopolies, a wealth inequality, or an even greater wealth divide, with the only alternative to these issues being minor candidates without a snowball's chance. For many, voting seemed meaningless. The issues where a choice was offered, abortion, Social Security, and medical care, were so undercovered by the corporate media that most voters still don't understand the differences. Voting ended up being a faith-based decision embedded upon visceral reactions to individuals instead of key societal issues.
Well, you know what's kind of interesting, Jeff, is that I've been doing some reading in the last few days about the reptilian brain, and that word visceral is actually used in the data to describe how the reptilian brain reacts to emotional stimuli rather than reason. We're coming back to the same thing all the time. And,
yeah.
You know, what people who haven't followed this over the years need to realize is that the reason that society, or that which controls society in all its forms, appears to react as one unit is because that's what it is. You know, we have this, as I've talked about for years, this compartmentalized pyramid in which the few at the top sit on top of all these different pyramids called the pharmaceutical industry, called the transnational corporations that provide the food, called the oil cartel, called the political parties, called all these areas of society, religion too. And what's happening is that there is a coordinated attack on the human computer, the brain. It comes from the food additives through the transnational corporations, and at the top of that, you've got the same group of families, interbreeding families. It comes through the media, who give you information they want to program the brain with and keep from you that which would give you another view of life. And at the top of the media ownership pyramid are the same people who are on top of the pyramid of the transnational corporations. Of course, one of the great ways that we are controlled and our opportunities suppressed is through the banking system. The banking system is another pyramid. At the top of that are the same people that are behind the pharmaceutical industry, the transnational corporations, the political parties. They're all one unit. All roads in the end lead to this group at the top of the pyramid. And because of this structure, they can, at the level of society that we experience, appear to be completely unconnected or not that connected areas of life, when they're all the same unit,
right,
with the same end in mind. And this is how they manage to coordinate it, because they have this compartmentalized pyramid within pyramid Russian doll type structure.
Let me tell you something here. We have a break coming up in about a minute. And I told this story to our listeners a couple weeks ago. Maybe some of you remember it. I recently was asked to go and help chaperone a high school dance, a homecoming football game dance. It used to be that people would go, kids, and, you know, have a good time, and they'd dance, and they'd talk for a while, and they'd meet new people and exchange information, whatever, tell jokes, have fun. No more, David. The disc jockey there began playing 100-plus decibel music the moment the, quote, dance began. Without pause, he continued for 3.5 hours, 100-plus decibels, no timeouts, no interruptions, nothing. The result, with his bass pulsing at very deep cycles per second, which we know now stimulates hormonal response immediately in the human body, these kids ended up, and I've seen it before, as one mass on the so-called dance floor. moving as if they were one unit, as if they were one hive of bees. No disparity, nothing. One unit, one organism, David. It was more than frightening.
And what is another aspect of the reptilian brain? The hive mentality. That which goes with the group mentality rather than expresses its individuality.
And that's exactly what I saw. And that's a scene being played out in high schools and colleges and dance locales, well, all around the world pretty much now.
Yep.
And all being spread by TV and the so-called music. Back in just a minute. Okay, and back with David Icke. Yeah, David, the vision of those kids, and I've seen it several times, acting as a singular organism, controlled absolutely by this very loud, very low, deep bass throbbing cadence, and of course lyrics that go right into that mind, which has been put into an altered state by that cadence. Go right into the subconscious, but it's a war, as you mentioned, against the computer, the human mind, which is being fought on many fronts.
Yeah, it was interesting. I've finished this new book. It'll be out in February.
Yeah, what's it called?
It's called Infinite Love is the Only Truth. Everything Else is Illusion, and the subtitle is Why the World is a Virtual Reality Game that Only Exists Because We Believe It Does. And in going to this level of the manipulation, suddenly the way society is structured makes perfect sense, because it's an attack on the DNA, which does far more than we realize in our knowledge of DNA up to this point within mainstream science.
Mm-hmm.
But when you realize the way that these things work and the way the brain decodes reality based on the input. You know, the reality of a computer is based on that which is inputted into it. It's based on the software. And it's the same with our brain. It reacts differently, and the output is different if consciousness is in the driving seat or whether these stimuli we're talking about are. And what's interesting is that when you investigate these things that you were talking about in one of the ads a few minutes ago, aspartame, MSG, monosodium glutamate, when you look at fluoride in the water, GM foods,
right.
When you look at mobile phones and mobile phone masks, and vaccines, there is a common theme among every single one of them, and that is that they affect adversely neurotransmission. Everyone, when you get down into the detail, that's what they do. And when you therefore apply this to children, children are being bombarded with all of this stuff. I mean, they probably consume more aspartame than anyone, not least through the soft drinks and stuff. And you know, when I see go around supermarkets and you see these colas, and then you read the ingredients and you see aspartame, and then you see kids drinking gallons of this stuff, and all this MSG and what have you, and then you read that child behavior problems are soaring. And when you go back and you look at the origin of when these behavior problems really started to take off, it was when this stuff started to be introduced in the food and the water and all this business. kids' brains are being rewired. They're being chemically changed. And that's why we have behavior problems. And then, of course, as I've talked about before, what the Illuminati do is they create a problem and then offer the solution to it that causes another problem.
Right.
So when you look at Ritalin and these other drugs, which are used to treat behavior problems caused by this crap, you find that they are adverse effectors of neurotransmission. So the whole thing gets worse, and this is why you have strange behavior by people on Ritalin and these other mind drugs. This is what's going on, because they don't want us to be able to free think. Now, in this reality, we have to free think through the computer. Rewire the computer, give it a computer virus, and then you'll keep consciousness out of the equation, and that's what they're seeking to do.
And they're so good at it, and this is all being, again, waged on a multiplicity of levels. David's remarks about aspartame and the other issues, let me give all of you just a little hint. When you read labels and you come across natural flavors or natural flavorings, that is a basket full of different types of appetite triggers, often including monosodium glutamate, can contain certainly aspartame and other things that will have a very adverse effect on your health, your mind, your state of affairs. David is absolutely right, and as are many other people who have studied this, we are poisoning our children into dysfunctionality with the food, but more than that, with the additives in the food. And then we are medicating them into permanent dysfunctionality with sugar-coated cocaine, otherwise known as Ritalin, and other drugs. Thankfully, we are not allowed to give them SSRIs under the age of 18 in America or the UK anymore. We have already ruined enough lives with that. So it's on to the next greatest cure. So you see exactly the situation here. If you see natural and artificial flavors on your label, don't buy it. Find one that doesn't. And what really irks me, David, is there are a number of very good all-natural organic products, which I've used for years in some cases, Rice Dream being the primary example. And all of a sudden, 6-8 months, a year ago, what's on the label? Natural flavors.
I know.
I called the company, went through 3 different levels, got up as high as they'd let me go. None of them would tell me what natural flavors were. All they would say is that they're all natural. They won't hurt you. There's no MSG in our products at all. But MSG is known by dozens of other names. I mean, it's all to sell more products. So you got to be
careful. Exactly. They actually try to sell MSG as a natural occurring substance.
I've seen it
too.
I can't believe it. I actually have seen it in health food stores in a bottle. You're right. It's amazing.
But then you look, given what we've been talking about, what does MSG do? It tricks the brain into believing there's more taste and decoding more taste than is actually there.
Right.
That's what it's doing. This whole thing is about accessing the brain computer through the senses. All of society is based on that.
So what aspartame does, it tricks the brain into sensing sweet.
Yeah.
But it breaks down into some very deadly chemicals like formic acid, formaldehyde, wood grain alcohol, methanol, and diketopiperazine, which is a known brain tumor causative agent. So anyway, we go on and on. We've got a break here. We'll come back. Our final segment with David Icke. And I want to ask him again now to pull back and let's take a look at America through the eyes of those in the UK and in Europe who are far wiser than the average American may ever be again. And I use the term carefully, the average American. Back in just a minute with David. We'll be right back. Okay, and welcome back. Talking with David Icke tonight. Always a fascinating, highly productive and worthy conversation whenever David gets together. Your new book will be out when, David? February, did you say?
February, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be highly illustrated, too, because it's going into what this thing we call the Matrix really is. And the more that I've understood it, it is actually fundamentally at this level, it's in terms of the human body, it's DNA. The DNA holds what we call mind at a base level. It holds what we call emotion at the reactive level we've talked about tonight. And it also decodes frequency fields into what we think is a holographic world. What we think is rather is a three-dimensional world, which is actually a holographic illusion, which even mainstream science and quantum physics is beginning to see. And therefore, holding us in the level of the hologram, the body, if you like, the brain, holds us in this reality, and therefore we look to within this reality for all our fix on who we are, what's happening in the world, the nature of life, and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And it shuts out consciousness, which of course is sees everything in a much different perspective.
Isn't that the truth? But that's the whole game, to anesthetize consciousness.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
what they're doing.
And to keep it out of the game. Instead of consciousness symbolically coming in from above, of course, not like that, but symbolically.
Right.
It wants all the information to go into the computer via the senses, via the eyes and via the ears, and et cetera,
right,
which
right.
they control. This is why they control the media and they control the additives we've talked about, because they want to control the perception of the computer, because that is going to dictate behavior. And, of course, in terms of people who voted for Bush yesterday, they are well down the road of completing that.
Did you see the splash screen I have at the top of my homepage?
What, with Bush and...
Yeah.
With
the horns and all that?
Absolutely.
That's pretty scary stuff. It's a pretty heavy symbolism there, and a lot of people would... Let me read that two paragraphs of one of the letters here that I want to ask about Europe. This is... I put a little section up there called Voices, the Aftermath, and just ran a few random responses from some of our readers at Rents.com. This is from Leslie Bell. I'm just going to read it. This is how he wrote it. He says, I am so goddamn sick and tired of living in a hijacked country, hijacked by a bunch of goddamn cheating Nazi bastards who aren't just satisfied with hijacking the presidency. No, they have to hijack the congressional seats of all their enemies as well, like Daschle and many others. And I am so goddamn sick and tired of the three major news networks pretending the country isn't being hijacked. Mr. Rather, I've got news for you. If it takes two goddamn years to count all the votes and run all the legal battles out to their eventual outcome, then so be it. Whatever it takes, as long as it takes, should be your motto, too, damn it. Bush is not my president, and he will never be my president. And if they install him once again, I will change my citizenship and my domicile as soon as economically possible and leave this useless Nazi country to its inevitable suicide. Go China. Now, that's a little extreme. I'm not saying he's reflecting my views, but that's the kind of sentiment that is really rife around this country now. There is a lot of anger. There is going to be depression. There is going to be, as you have pointed out, fear, and that's part of the game. Yep. Look out, we got you for four more years, folks, and if you think it was tough the first four, you better watch your butt this time. So that's what we're seeing. Anger, which is in many cases going to transmit itself into fear, and that will be played upon. Now, this letter, again, I forgive the language, but that's how people are thinking now. That's how they're feeling. And I wanted to ask you what Europe is saying. I mean, I know that you could probably, if you stuck your ear out the window, as you could hear the collective jaws of millions of Europeans hitting the floor. They probably couldn't believe what they were seeing.
Well, yeah, there's a series of programs on British television the last couple of weeks about the election, which would never, ever be broadcast in America, exposing, actually it was an excellent one, which exposed the way the campaigns were run. that they were all, in their words, illusion. What appeared to be happening was not what was happening at all. It was all manipulated and it was all stage show. And they had another program about Americans living in Europe and what they thought of the election. And again, they were saying, I just hope Bush doesn't get re-elected because it's an embarrassment to be with my friends and be American. Because when, it's like being in a pressure cooker or something. You have a certain reality inside, but when you get out and observe it from a distance, you see it in a completely different way. And American politics and the American system is laughable. I mean, it is one of the things that people have been staggered by is the length of the queues to vote.
Right.
Hours and hours and hours to vote in a so-called democracy.
Right.
You know, there'd be a riot in Britain if it was a fraction of that. I mean, why I don't vote now here because it's irrelevant. I'm just two masks on the same face. But in the past, and when I passed by polling booths and places like that during elections for the Prime Minister and the government, there's never queues. And yet you have hours. How many people thought, nah, I can't be bothered, and walked away and didn't vote because of the queues? And to then both candidates talk about it being a beacon of democracy and freedom to the world, it is a joke. And it's because the American media hold the focus within the borders of the United States. Basically, they're holding them in a tiny little fraction of reality and keeping from them all the way the world really sees them. The Americans don't. The American system looks in at itself. It doesn't look out and see what others how others
utterly,
see it. I remember Jeff, when I first came to America to spend any time there in 1996. I could not believe my eyes at what a controlled, you can't, uniform-dominated society it was.
Mm-hmm.
Just extraordinary to me. And yet, all the way through my life, I'd heard American presidents and what have you talking about the fact that it's the land of the free and the beacon of freedom, when it is so far from that. It's unbelievable. And it's like, as long as you don't get people to look up and take a deep breath and just reason on the facts rather than come from this emotional reactive, oh, yes, stars and stripes, star-spangled banner kind of reactive, this is America, when they just go, let's have a look at this. In fact, you find that actually America is one of the most controlled societies outside the communist world. And in fact, it's probably more subtly controlled because at least the communist world operates on the system that you know you're in a dictatorship. It's much more subtle in America, and because they're banging out this land of freedom while it's a dictatorship. And the consequences are now going to be seen. And sometimes you have to go to the edge of the cliff and look over before you have the sense to turn back.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, you know, this next 4 years is going to be necessary to get people to finally see the illusion they've been involved in. Half of America can already see it, and I won't hold my breath for the other half yet.
Well, the unfortunate thing is much of the world will view this in rather simplistic terms, those terms being that America has spoken and America has underwritten, endorsed, and subscribed to all of the horrors being perpetrated by its leadership. Therefore,
yeah, exactly.
It deserves whatever it gets.
Exactly. Because the simplistic one-liner is not just the bastion in America. It's used in all over the world to get people into this reptilian brain reactive simplistic view of the world. And interestingly, you know, we talk about how few people actually run things and are actually making the decisions. There have been political correspondents in this country in the last 24 hours who have been reporting conversations with Blair's cabinet ministers. And everyone they spoke to was aghast and disappointed is not the word, that Bush was re-elected. The only real person in that government who is glad is the Prime Minister, Tony Blair, because he runs a dictatorship here too. Yeah. It's just, in many ways, a mirror. What he says goes, and cabinet government is over. The number of people running the show is just so small, it's pathetic.
True, and it had to have caused chorus after chorus of laughter and chuckles when old Osama bin Laden showed up on cue with his latest alleged video. I mean,
I could mention something about that, because about these videos. Because, again, if we don't realize the level of technology possible, we buy things. Now, there's a lady in this country, she's a television presenter, and she is an enormous lady, right? I mean, good luck to her. I'm not going to go or anything. She's just an enormous lady.
Right.
She's now doing a television advert for some food product, in which they have put her head on a much smaller body, because she's so enormous and that's her image, that they're playing with it for this advert. You cannot see the joint. You would, if you didn't know, you would think that was her body.
I know. Well, we're in the digital age, my friend. Aren't we? David, thanks, as always, for spending time here and for getting up so damned early. I appreciate it. And,
no problem, Jeff.
We'll talk again, my friend.
Okay, mate. Thanks.
Bye. All right. Take care. David Icke. And if you're new to David Icke, his books are always fascinating. I-C-K-E, David Icke. Again, forgive me for that language and that letter I read. I just wanted to give you an idea of the outrage that's out there. It's very real. It's very palpable. And it's not going to go away anytime soon. And let's hope the old saying, it's going to get worse before it gets worse, is not applicable. But time will tell. And time, in 21 hours' time, we'll be back with more. Take care.